even while I was in the army and so on, I already, with a friend at the time, Ben Sandler, another friend, Gidon Kirshner, I decided that we must do something here to change a basic thing in the environment. And here I want to go more into details, the whole concept. Because this really started when I was in the States. Before I left to the States, in this country, the beginning of the 50s, you had on one hand very advanced research and development in the military. You have very advanced research in the universities. But the industry had nothing to do with that. The industry lived from license, from different things. And the major problem was that really the people that worked in the industry at the time really didn't know to communicate, even to the people in the military, in R&D, or the people in the university. And I arrived at the conclusion, looking around, although everybody was trying to tell me our future is agriculture and so on, I said, well, I don't believe it. I believe that in the longer run, if I look what is happening in the States, where people from the university are also setting up startups in business. It was Route 128 at the time. And I see how the defense is really doesn't do its work inside only, but it does it in industry. They communicate. I believe that what we need in this country, I called it at the time, a knowledge-based industry. I didn't use the word high-tech. That was much, much later people started to use it. And I said, knowledge-based industry. And we have to find a way to take advantage of the knowledge in the university and in the defense in order to create an industry that will be attractive to the young people, that the young people that study will want to go and build here and stay here and build here an industry, and that will be to the benefit of the society. But obviously, we do not have enough of the market. There must be products like this that will be people in the world will find them interesting. That was the concept. I tried to convince government, ministers, and so on. It was very difficult because at that time, the key element was obviously, okay, there's immigration, so we have to bring people to the Negev and to all kinds of places and find jobs for many people. And I remember I went at some point, I went to Pinchas Sapir, who was later the Minister of Finance, but he was, and I told him, we need that kind of support in order to build this. And his answer was, well, are you going to go to the Negev? Are you going to use hundreds of people? So I said, I don't know if I'm going to use hundreds of people, but certainly I'm not going to go to the Negev. This has to be in an area that we are close to the university. And I thought, Haifa is perfect because it's both the Ministry of Defense Research and Tel Aviv. And, well, I must say it only in parentheses now that later on, when Sapir realized what's happening, he totally changed his mind. He was very supportive. Anyhow, when I left, so I set a role originally, you know, like a lab and the company, a small company owned by me and a friend and so on. But, you know, I needed, after I left the army, I needed, I had a family, I needed a position, and also I wanted the contact. So I went and got a position at the Technion, the Faculty of Physics. I got a very interesting position. I was in charge of the electronics laboratories in the Faculty of Physics, and as a lecturer to teach graduate students in physics about the methods for the research, electronic methods for use that they could use in physics research, which was very interesting. So I had a full day because I was doing both the Sigma Technion, and in the evening, I was obviously continuing to do the business.